Well, before things get crazy with Christmas, I wanted to take today and spend some time on this Thanksgiving weekend to really just let us think and consider and ponder the idea of thanking God for who He is, obviously, and for the many wonderful things that He has done in our lives and for our lives. And I have so much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I'm obviously grateful for a beautiful wife of 36 years, for our children who love the Lord, and two son-in-laws who are leading their families, for the fact that I'm able to work here and to be able to serve you in this place at this time. For 15 years, the Lord has allowed me to serve as pastor of Linwood. And, you know, Linwood's not a perfect church, and I'm not a perfect pastor, but the Lord has been faithful to this church. We have much, so much to be thankful for today and what God is doing through Linwood, which means I'm thankful for you, for the blessing that you are to my life and the influence that you've had in my life. You know, I've had the opportunity to live in many places. I've traveled the world. And I'm really thankful that God has put me here. We need to be thankful that God has put us here at this season of our lives to live in this community and to know that this is the place where God wants to use us to reach this area for Christ and, of course, impact the world. And I'm thankful for so many other things, and hopefully that you are as well. And at the end of the service, I want to give us some time to just pause and give thanks to God. Because we live in a culture where we see less and less gratitude. We see more of a sense of entitlement, of what somebody owes me, what I deserve, what should be given to me, rather than responding to life with a grateful heart. And that all centers in our relationship with God and our faith in God. Now, today I want to look at one verse out of God's Word. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. There are many scriptures that talk about giving thanks to God, especially in the Psalms. But I want to use this passage of scripture. The book of Ephesians is a letter that was written to the church at Ephesus, which is in Turkey. And the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is Paul expressing doctrinal truth. The last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, he takes that truth and he applies it. And the key word in those three chapters is the word walk. He talks about walking, and that means how we live our faith. We're to walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk worthily. We walk reflecting Christ. We walk in love. We are to walk in light, he says. And here in chapter 5, he talks about walking in wisdom. And that wisdom is being spirit-filled. That's how he defines wisdom. It's a person who is living with a life that is filled with the Spirit of God, which we receive at the point of our salvation. The Spirit of God comes into our lives, and we're to appropriate that filling of the Spirit. And so in these verses, he's defining what that Spirit-filled life looks like. And the focus is verse 20, but notice in verse 19, he talks about speaking. You're filled with the Spirit. What? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord. And now he says this, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he'll continue defining and describing what that Spirit-filled life looks like, how we are to submit to one another, the relationship between a husband and wife, the relationship between parents and children, the relationship between the employer and the employee. And that really is the overview of the letter that he writes to this church. But he talks here about giving thanks and how we are to do that. And there are several questions that I want to answer this morning, and then toward the end really get to the main point. First of all, what is giving thanks? When we think about that, what does it mean to give thanks? Well, giving thanks is a grateful acknowledgement of something that I have received from somebody else. All right? So whenever I am thanking somebody, it's because they've done something for me. I've received something from them, therefore I give thanks. Now, a grateful person understands three things about giving thanks. First of all, he knows that the blessing was given to him. He cannot take credit for the gift in any form or fashion. That gift was given to him. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. It was given to him. Secondly, in like same manner, you're totally unworthy of the gift. You see, a person who feels that they deserve what they get is not truly a grateful person. The grateful person, as God defines gratefulness and thanks, being thankful, is a person who receives something from God, maybe through somebody else, but I don't deserve that. We really don't deserve anything because of who we are. But God in His grace has given us everything, though we don't deserve it. That's what grace means. God's unmerited favor. So the grace of God has been given to us. The blessing of God has been given to us, though we don't deserve it whatsoever. Also, we realize that the blessings that we have are great and many. Now, some of you here today may say, well, Pastor, I can't say that I have many blessings and I don't have many great blessings. I can name a few, but we need to remember that all the blessings that we have are great, and we have many, many blessings. And you say, well, I don't know if that's true for me. Let me remind you of one. You were born in the United States of America. You could have been born in Sudan. You could have been born and become a Christian in North Korea, where more than likely you will not live. They're eradicating Christianity. It is the number one nation in the world where Christians are persecuted and Christians are martyred for their faith. So let's just stop. America's not a perfect nation. We have our problems. We have our warts. But the fact that God allowed you to be born here when you could have been born anywhere else is cause for us to give thanks to Him. That is a great blessing. That's not a little blessing. But we take it for granted. We overlook that. Or the fact that you have a job. Now, some of you may not have a job. You're looking for a job or whatever. But the fact that you're able to work, God has blessed you in that way. On and on I could go, the many blessings. So God has given us so much, and we are able to give thanks. We're acknowledging what He has done for us. Notice also that giving thanks is a perpetual attitude and practice. By definition of the word, the way the word is constructed in the text, it is something that we're always doing. He didn't say that He gave thanks in the past tense or that He will give thanks in the future for something that might happen. He says giving. I am giving thanks. It is something that I am doing now and that I'm always doing. It's a habit of life, really the way that word is defined by the way it's constructed. It's a habit of life. I'm always giving thanks to the Lord. Now, are there times where there are problems and I acknowledge that and I may not have a grateful heart? I'm not real excited about what happens, of course. But the deep attitude of my heart, I always come back to center point, which is acknowledging God and His grace in my life, even in the midst of what I'm dealing with. Giving thanks also increases as you think about your blessings. Now that's why we have this time of year that we stop and we think about the blessings that we have, which causes us to give thanks to God. When that happens, worries tend to disappear. Am I focused on the problem or am I focused on the blessing? Am I worried or am I trusting God because of His faithfulness to me and His blessings, knowing that He'll continue to be faithful? Complaints begin to vanish. They go away. If I'm focused on the blessing of God, I'm not going to be complaining to God or complaining to other people of how life is not the way I want it. All right? So we're able to focus on the blessing and we stop complaining. Then, when I am giving thanks to God because of the blessings, I have the courage to face the future. I've seen God faithful in the past. He got me through this. Now I have the courage to take the next step that God wants me to make. I don't have to be paralyzed with the problem that I'm in. I don't have to stay in the doldrums, but I have a step that God wants me to take. I've said this often, but every person in this room has another step in your journey of faith. I don't care how young or old you are, how long you've known the Lord, that there is a next step for you, and it's not backward. It's not to the left or to the right. It's a forward step that God desires for you to take. So, as I think about the blessing, I have the courage to move forward. Also, when I'm thinking about the blessings, resolutions are often made. Determinations are often made. When I realize if God has been faithful in the past, that He has blessed me, and I recognize that, and I'm thanking Him for that, then I can make a determination about what I need to do. God brings clarity to the problem out of gratefulness. It really is a way of arresting my attention in the midst of the problem that I'm experiencing. I begin to stop and I'll focus on the blessing. God, as much as I hate this, I do thank You for this. This is the blessing that I see. And then that helps you determine the next step that you take. And when all that happens, then a person experiences peace. That's one of the products of a grateful heart, is that I have peace. Because when I really stop and think about the blessings that God has given me, and I'm thanking Him for those blessings, then, yes, I have problems, but God gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Notice, secondly, another question, when should you give thanks? He says, giving thanks what? Always. You should give thanks when? After the blessing has been received. That's usually when we give thanks. It's when something has happened, it's good, and we received it, so we stop and we give thanks. Exodus 15, we find the children of Israel. They've been delivered out of Egypt, and they've crossed the Red Sea. And as soon as they take step onto the shore on the other side of the Red Sea, they stop, they build an altar, and they give thanks for what God has done in delivering them out of Egypt. We're also to give thanks during the times of stress, during the times of problems, not just after God has acted, but even in the midst of the problem that we give thanks. Jonah chapter 2, we find Jonah has been swallowed into the belly of a great fish because of his sin. He's running from God. But in the midst of that, he turns his heart toward God, the Bible says. He looks to God. When he's describing looking to Jerusalem, it means he's looking to God. And in the midst of that, he gives thanks for what God is doing in his life at that moment. But we're also to give thanks before the battle happens, before we face the trials and the tests of life that come. We find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat does that before he defeats the Ammonites and the Moabites. That he's giving God thanks for the victory that is going to be his. He's claiming that victory that is promised to him. And there are victories that God has promised to you that he has given you already. The battle has already been won. And it's a matter of thanking God for what he's already done for you and accepting that and receiving that into your life. Not focusing again and dwelling on the problems that just take us down. But before it ever happens, I see it coming that I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to give him thanks for what's ahead. We should always, always give thanks. The third question here is, for what should you give thanks? He says, for everything. We give thanks for the blessings, those that are physical in nature, those that are spiritual in nature, those that are ordinary. Again, these are the blessings that we take for granted that come our way, the little things of life. I woke up this morning, my car started. That's an ordinary thing. I accept that by faith that it's going to start. But hey, when it doesn't start, it becomes a big problem, right? And so we stop and we just, for the ordinary things, the little things, that's why we have so many things to thank God, because they seem so insignificant, but they're not. For the extraordinary things that happen. Oh, I must be a lucky guy. This happened to me. Now, we don't believe in luck. We do not believe in luck as Christians. We are fortunate because of what God has done. We are blessed by what God has done. We see the hand of God, the providence of God in any extraordinary thing that He does, along with the ordinary things. As I mentioned earlier, we are able to thank Him for the past, the present, and the future. But listen, we also thank Him for the things that He has withheld from us. Now, have you been genuine in that? You're waiting for God to answer your prayer. You're wanting God to do something for you. It hasn't happened yet. Now, it just may be on delay. The timing is what God's waiting for, the right time to have its greatest impact in affecting your life, so that when that response comes, you'll be ready. But maybe God is withholding that because it is not right for you. And that's where it gets tough, that God withholds that blessing. Now, I could go around the room and I could have people stand up and they would say, I'm so thankful that God did not give me what I asked for years ago. What if God had done that? You know, y'all familiar with the Garth Brooks song, Thankful for Unanswered Prayers, right? We're thankful for those things that did not happen in our lives. We can say that now. Well, listen, that may be what God is doing. This is not good for you. This is not right for you. This is not the blessing that you need. It may be what you think you want or what even you think you need, but I have a greater blessing. And that's why we wait patiently. We trust God. We follow Him because He knows what is best. He's the Creator. He created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. That's why you need to trust Him. That's why you need to know Him. And in that, I can give thanks to God, trusting Him all the way. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians, so because of Christ, I am pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecutions, and in pressures. Paul, again and again, when he was in prison on several occasions, was giving thanks. You would find him singing hymns or songs. You would find him encouraging others to do the same. When they were in trouble, he was always encouraging, always giving thanks, even in those moments. My life verse, as Paul would write, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things are good, but all things work together for good, for our good and for God's glory. Now, how should you give thanks? How do you do that? Well, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Well, everything that we've received is because of the work of Christ on the cross. He earned it because of what He did. And He's worthy to be praised. We give our praise and our thanks to Him because of what He has done for us. He's the perfect example of how we should give thanks. Before He fed the 5,000, He had the fish and the loaves of bread, He blessed it. He also called Lazarus from the grave, but before He did that, He gave God thanks for what this opportunity meant and what God was going to do. He also, at the night of the Passover meal, the night where He would be betrayed and arrested and then go to the cross the next day, what did He do? He took the bread, He broke it, the Bible says, and He gave thanks. Because in that way, He was thanking God for what that symbolized. He would be facing the cross. That He was going to be obedient to the Lord in doing that. And so over and over and over again, you see that the Lord Jesus had an attitude of humility, of thanksgiving to His Father. Were it not for Christ, we wouldn't have anybody to give thanks. Think about the person who doesn't know God. Who are they giving thanks to on Thanksgiving, on Thursday? I mean, they have no one to say thank you, but we do. We recognize that there is somebody out there who has blessed our lives, and we're able to give thanks to Him. The God who loves you wants you to love Him in return and to give thanks to Him, and we're able to do that. Notice also, to whom should you give thanks? He says, to God the Father. Now here's where I want to drop an anchor, because there are two kinds of people in this room today. There are two kinds of people in your family. There are two kinds of people where you're going to go to work tomorrow. Kids, there are two kinds of people where you go to school. And you're going to be one of these two people. You're going to be a person who is grateful, or you're going to be a person who is ungrateful. One of the two. So I want to describe the person who is ungrateful and the person who is grateful and see where you fall. First of all, the atheist does not thank God. Now that sounds obvious, but a man is not going to give thanks to someone he doesn't believe exists. So the atheist does not recognize that God exists. He's not going to thank God. He has no understanding of who God is in his life, and so that seems obvious. But there's a person called the agnostic or the skeptic. He believes that a God exists, but he doesn't believe, basically, that that God is personal, nor is that God made himself known. He basically started it and left it alone. And he's some cosmic force that is out there. He's skeptical that he exists. Therefore, he's doubtful about God. He's not going to give thanks to God. If I am doubting something, whether I should do that or not, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to move toward that until I see the reality of what that is. Then I may agree to do it. I may agree to, you know, go along with it or whatever. But if I have doubt, if I'm a skeptic about that reality that somebody is presenting to me, it's going to be very hard for me to move toward it. And that's what the agnostic or skeptic is. He's a person who doubts. He's skeptical of the reality of the presence and the power of God. So he obviously is not going to give thanks to something he doesn't fully believe in. And there are times where it's very hard for us to give thanks to God, because we act as though we're an agnostic. We're a practical agnostic. We may say God exists, but we doubt what God is doing. We doubt His work in our life. And so it's very hard for us to give thanks to God when we're a skeptic about the way God is responding to our lives at the moment. And that's why we need to, you know, come back around to who we are. If I really believe in God and believe that He exists, then I can trust Him. And I can move toward Him, and I can be grateful to God. Also, the forgetful person will not thank God. Thanking God demands remembering. We have to stop and remember what God has done in order to give thanks to Him. Parents, what's one of the last things we've told our children when they leave the house? They're going to go over to somebody's house, or they're going to go to with their friend's family to go out to eat. What do we tell them? Don't forget to say thanks. Don't forget to say thanks. Remember what somebody's done for you and thank them for that. Well, it's easy for us as Christians that we're running through life and we don't take time to stop and remember what the Lord has done in order to give thanks. An ungrateful person forgets what God has done. An ungrateful person is one who feels self-sufficient. He's not going to be grateful for God. He believes that the food that he put on his table is produced by his hands. I did this. Why should I stop and give thanks to something or somebody that didn't have anything to do with what I have done? Now, for those of us who are believers, we recognize that we're to work and we're to produce. Paul says if a man doesn't work, he does not deserve to eat. That means he doesn't have the capacity to work. So God has, listen, He's gifted you to work. He's empowered you to work. He's given you the opportunity to work. Now, you've got to do your part. You've got to work. You have to do what has been asked of you when it comes to working. But when I work, then God is able to help me understand that He has given me the intellect to do what I'm doing, the strength to do what I'm doing. He's given me the position that I'm in. Yes, I've worked hard, and I'm climbing the ladder, but God's given you the ability to do that. That's why we stop and we give thanks. Because we realize that what is on my table is not just what I have done, but God has given me the gifts and the ability, the power to do that and to produce that. And so that's why we give thanks. The greedy person will not be grateful to God for his blessing. He's too consumed with what he wants to be grateful for what he already has. A greedy person is not going to give thanks because he's thinking more about what he wants than what he already has. And greed can creep into our lives so easily. It causes us to be ungrateful. I want more, I want more, I want more. More will make me happy. And of course, the testimony of those who gain more is that they are not happy. It doesn't produce happiness. Then only the Lord can fill that void in our hearts and do that. Paul is concerned about that, and he warns of this danger in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice what he says. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For money is a root of all kinds of evil. Is that what it says? No. For the what? Love of money. Money's not the problem. Having wealth is not the problem. It's the love of money, he says, is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, it's the desire, craving the desire. Some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Amen and amen and amen. So he warns against this idea of greed, that I want more, I'm more worried about what I don't have. That causes me not to be thankful to the Lord. The envious person will not be grateful. He's coveting what somebody else has, and he wants it. Therefore, he's not grateful for what he already has. Proverbs 14:30, envy rots the bones. It's just straightforward. There it is. Envy will ruin a person. Now, two classes of people. That's the ungrateful person. The other person is one who is grateful to God. A grateful person has a strong belief in God. Our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were men of great faith. They were men who believed in God, and because of that, they were thankful to God for the blessings that they experienced. Great examples to our lives. A strong faith in God causes us as Christians to thank God. Now, here's what that means. That a person who is not grateful, all that is showing you is where they are in their faith in God. What do they really believe about God? And a person who is ungrateful is showing you, I don't have a strong faith in God. When I see somebody who is thanking God in the midst of all the problems that they're experiencing, what does it show me? They have great faith in God. They believe in God. They believe God. Not just in Him, but they believe Him, that He is going to come through. So a grateful person has a strong belief in God. Also, grateful people feel dependent on God. It's easy to be thankful when we remember how dependent we are on God. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So a grateful person knows I'm dependent on God. That means there's no room for pride, no room for self-sufficiency, since every blessing comes from God. Also, grateful people remember what God has done for them. Remember the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus? Great story. When they got healed, boy, were they happy. They were excited, and they hit the road running to the village to tell everybody that they had been healed, except for one. One started, but then he turned around and came back to Jesus, and he thanked him for the healing. Are you the nine or the one? God does something in your life, and man, you're waiting for the next blessing and the next blessing and the next blessing as you go down your journey. Or do you take time to stop and thank God? You remember, God, wait a minute, this came from you. This is what you answered. I'll be honest. This past week, the 10 days, there were several things. I just needed God to come through. And I asked God, God, please. And I want to tell you what joy came to my heart when I stopped and remembered how God answered those specific prayers. And He did it in very unusual ways. But boy, I tell you, it was just a blessing to see how God solved some of those things. And the just the thankfulness, the gratitude that each of us have when we remember what the Lord has done. Grateful people also have hearts filled with love. Just as pride, greed, and envy produce ingratitude, love produces thanksgiving. Love produces thanksgiving. The more love we possess, the more gratitude we express. The more love we possess, the more gratitude we express to God. Grateful people also take time to say thanks. You know, an expression of gratitude may not take much time, but it demands it. It may not take much time to thank God, but it demands us to take time and to say thank you to God for what He's done for us. It doesn't take much time for me to write a thank you note for what somebody's done for me, but it demands that. I should do that. When's the last time you stopped and you remembered God's blessing through somebody else and you thanked them? How they impacted your life, how they helped you, how they encouraged you, how they met a need in your life. Is it the sense of entitlement? Oh, I deserve that. Or is it, well, what a blessing. And not only do you acknowledge that, but you say thank you to them. Listen, when you've done something for somebody else, you do that without expecting anything in return, right? That should be our attitude. But when somebody does acknowledge that, what a blessing it is. What an encouragement it is to you. What a blessing God receives. How much more should we thank Him for what He's done for us and the pleasure that He receives in hearing us as His children say, Father, Dad, thank you. And how we should have that same attitude when others have done something for us. Grateful people also find a blessing in every event of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Matthew Henry is a scholar who was a pastor and wrote many years ago, and he was robbed. And in his diary, he wrote these words, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." You see, we're only a few decisions away from doing the wrong thing and paying a very hard price for that. But we're thankful. By God's grace, God, I did not do that. Yes, it was done to me, but I didn't do that to somebody else. And so we thank Him for the blessing. A king many years ago had a strong love for a particular soldier who had helped him in battle. And it was time to thank this soldier and to recognize him. And he gave him a cup, the king's cup, that had many jewels around it. And the soldier said, "This is too great a gift for me to receive." And the king said, "Yes, but it's not too great a gift for me to give." God is the great giver. Let's be great in our thanksgiving to Him. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. We're ahead of time this morning, and I planned it this way. So I wanted us to have a time of response that'll be a little bit different as we go into it. I don't know how busy it's been for you the last few days, maybe the last month, the last year. But I want you to stop for just a few moments, and I want us to spend some time thanking God. being grateful. And there might be some who are here this morning and would say, Pastor Boyd, it's hard for me to be grateful, to be honest with you. And we've all been there. You're not alone. But I want to help you this morning. Maybe you came in and your heart was discouraged. You weren't very grateful. But you can leave with a different heart. First of all, I want you to thank you that God loves you and that He chose you to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And so just thank Him for that, that you're in the family. I want you to thank Him for your family, whatever that looks like, whoever's in the family. I'm sure there are family members you may have a struggle with, but I just want you to thank God for your family. He put you in this family. This is where you live. This is where you are. These are the people in your family. Remember that God's at work in your family. You may not understand it. You may not see it right now. But thank God for what He's doing and what He's going to do. It may not go your way, but He'll be faithful to bless you as you respond the right way. I want you to thank Him for where you work. Even though you may not like your job, your employer, employees, there may be some issues, but this is where you're working today. He may have something different for you in the future. But remember, God's at work, at work. And people are watching you at work. They're seeing how you respond when things don't go your way at work. So thank Him for where you work. I want you to thank Him for Linwood. Again, we're not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. But God has been faithful to Linwood. God has been good to Linwood. And God is at work here. Almost every week, every Sunday, we're baptizing new believers in Christ. We're seeing people grow in their faith. We're impacting our community. And God has so much more He wants to do, but just stop and thank Him for this church, this light in the world of darkness. Now, there might be somebody here who would say, Pastor, it was very hard for me to give thanks to God for my relationship to Him because, to be honest, I really don't have one. I've never been able to really thank God. I'm a spiritual person, perhaps, to some degree. I know about Him. But I recognize my need for Him today because of my sin. And I want to turn from my way and turn to God's way. I want to turn to Christ and recognize what He did for me on the cross and in His resurrection. And in just a moment, when we have a time of response, I'm going to ask you to come to me or to Jeff. We'll be here to help you as you make that commitment to Christ. And what a great Thanksgiving and Christmas it will be for you. There's some here today, you're struggling in your faith. You're not where you should be spiritually. And it's been hard to be grateful. That's what sin will do to us. It takes our eyes off the Lord and off the blessings. And it puts it on our needs. And ask God to help you get back on the right path today. There might be some that God is saying, this needs to be your church home. This is a place where I'm working, and I want you to be a part of it. Then in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond and take that step of faith as well. Maybe you have a need, you want to talk to somebody, have somebody pray for you. We're prepared to do that. Father, I thank you for speaking to me through this message, reminding me of how important a grateful heart is, which really is an indicator of my relationship to you. Lord, I am blessed in so many ways, and all of us are in this room. But yet we have needs in our lives, and Father, we seek you and ask you to help us now with these commitments that need to be made. In Jesus' name, amen.